died for you. He died for me. From our sin, he set us free. He loved us so, his life he gave. So if we ask, we can be saved.
Hello, my name is Rick Hurtless, founder of His Gospel Power. In this study, we examine Jesus in the book of Judges. Jesus is our righteous judge. Jesus is the truth and is worthy to judge the righteous and the unrighteous. Like in the time of Judges, America does what is right in its own eyes. Jesus helps the Christian to strive to do what is right in the eyes of God.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I come to you in humbleness of heart. I come to you, Lord, and I pray that you will use my mouth, Father, that I might speak your words, that I might glorify you in all I think, say, and do. I pray that all of our hearts and minds are focused only on you this morning. And I give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going through this series, Jesus in the Old Testament. And it is exciting to know that God had a plan since before we were on this earth. God had a plan for us that we might live in eternity before we ever sat in this sanctuary. Throughout the book of Judges, the Jews followed God. He blessed them. And then they fell away. They began to give him praise, and it lasted for just a short time. They fell away. And then, of course, they went through a period of time when there was a famine and they were oppressed. They cried out to God once more. And then God sent another deliverer. He blessed them. He delivered them from their oppression. They got complacent once again and turned away from God once again. And the cycle just continues on and on and on and on in the book of Judges. In fact, you can see it throughout the Old Testament and in fact the Bible. And in fact, we are still seeing that today. In America, we have held God in high esteem for years and years and years. We have put Him on the pedestal where He should be, the throne of grace, the great and mighty God, the sovereign and powerful, wonderful God, that we should lift Him on high. And now, we have seen, and it's not only been just yesterday, but it's been several years in the making. And God is taken down in the minds of America one little, and not even a whole step, little eighth steps, just bringing him on down. And now, most of America has replaced God with their own kind of idol. Whether that idol be money, whether that idol be material possessions, whether that idol be your job, regardless of how much money you make, whether it be sports or maybe it's another, many say that there's many roads to the top of the mountain, so we don't have to revere our God any longer. It doesn't matter which God that you look up to and that you love, just so long as you're going, you have some conviction of heart about it. There are many that are convicted in their heart that are going to hell because they have the conviction not of Yahweh, the great and powerful, mighty God, but they have the conviction of heart of following the false God. Today, we have a Redeemer who has delivered us. Just as it happened in the book of Judges. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came to the earth and He delivered us that we might have eternal salvation if we would accept Him. And this country was founded on those principles. the principles that if we will reverence a great and mighty God, that He will bless this nation. I'm convinced of that. I'm told in the history books, in fact, that the pilgrims weren't going to come here. They were fleeing persecution. But they weren't going to come here. They were going to go to a known land. But instead, God instilled into their hearts to come to this land. And this land will be blessed by God as long as we will bless Him. And now we are seeing the fruits as we withdraw those blessings that we are giving to God and putting on our own self, putting on our own way of life, how we want to live. Now the same could be said of Israel in the book of Judges. They did the same exact thing. We read about it. The sad part is that we read history, see how it degrades humanity, and then repeat it. And say, in our arrogance, it can't happen to us. It can't happen to me. It happened to them, but I'm better than that. I can do it better. I see that throughout the history books. You don't have to read much history to figure that out. The book of Judges, they sent deliverers. They sent judges, if you will, to judge those who had been persecuting Israel because they cried out, because they repented to God. Well, Jesus is our judge. Jesus was sent to this earth that sin would be condemned and that we might be saved. Jesus, our judge, our redeemer, came and paid the price so that we might have salvation. Just as they did in the book of Judges, as the deliverers would come and they would pay the price and they would listen to what Almighty God would say. They would pay the price. And then it would be done, and then they'd forget about God. And how often do I see that? Do you realize that after 9/11, the churches were full? And then the decline started. Now, we don't really know why necessarily, but the church has been in steady decline since 9/11. You would almost expect the fact that now we are at war, and 9/11 happened. We should be praying to God to help us and give us strength, but instead, it is in steady decline from 9/11 to today. And that's because people have taken Jesus from the throne. Jesus, our great and mighty God, should be on the throne. Revelation 20:11 talks about the great white throne judgment. Now the great white throne judgment, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will not have to go through. The great white throne judgment is the judgment that God will judge those who have not accepted Jesus Christ and will throw them into the lake of fire. So if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you don't have to go through that. However, you will be judged according to what you have done. Now, exactly how does that look? I don't know. Now, we're not talking about salvation. We're not talking about works. We're going to put up on a chalkboard. Let me see. You did this many bad things and you did this many good things and you subtract them out and you say, well, you did more bad than you did good. You're going to hell. No, we're not talking about works. We're talking about those things that we do in this body that Jesus Christ will judge and He will burn up all the chaff. And all of those things that were done out of the pureness of heart, the purity of heart, we will receive crowns, jewels in our crown for. 2 Corinthians 5:1-10. Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, this is the earthly tent. Remember we talked about that. The earthly tent that we are provided with is this right here. This body. Well, if it is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. Now, brother Brother Ron was talking to us this morning about being clothed in the heavenly clothes. He was talking to about a place that we are heading for. I am bound for the promised land. How do I know that? Because I have Jesus Christ in my heart. I follow Him. I have a relationship with Him. Do I mess up? Yes, I do. But He still leads me and He guides me daily. I confess my sins. I let Him know that, Lord, I know that I'm messing up. And He helps me to overcome those problems. He helps me to be an overcomer. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, which is with Jesus Christ in heaven, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Boy, that sounds strange. So that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. You see, this is not life. Life is everlasting with Jesus Christ. This is temporary. This is our tent. This is what we have to walk around in. This is what we have to abide in. This is what we may get sick in. This is what we have to endure. This is our time of testing. It's our mortal. But soon we will be swallowed up by life. I love the way he puts that. Now, it is God who has made us for this very purpose and has given us the Spirit as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. Now, that's the NIV rendition. I personally think that if you take it back to the Greek, that's not that great, because that God didn't make us for the purpose for us to go to heaven. He made us for the purpose of glorifying God. The better translation of that might be, God has prepared us for heaven. He is preparing us spiritually for heaven. How is He doing that? Through Jesus Christ, His Son. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. How many of you can say that you would rather be away from the body? Amen. Show of hands, maybe. But you know, this is what we know. This is comfortable. Somewhat. Depends on, if you're healthy, this is comfortable. You get a little bit sick and it's not so comfortable. But it's something that we know. It's not unknown. Heaven to us is unknown. I speak to many who are Christian brothers, I believe. I talk with them, and many times I'll say, how are you doing? And they say, well, it's better than the alternative. And I'm like, no, it is not. It is not better than the alternative. The alternative is to be present with Jesus Christ. Though, of course, the bad part for us is we leave our loved ones behind, but it's only but for a short time. Because I believe when we get in heaven, we also know that there is no more time in heaven. And so the time for us, the mortal time, will pass so quickly that we will be with our loved ones in an instant. But it's hard for those of us who are left behind when we lose a loved one. Still, we are to long for the promised land. We are to go and pray and be ready for the promised land. And how do we do that? We do that by glorifying God. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly realms. In other words, he is talking about the spiritual and the physical throughout this passage. He is talking about how we are to live our lives, which is in the spiritual. Now, in the book of Judges, Israel always lived in the physical. And in fact, throughout the entire Old Testament, they lived in the physical. And if you are living in persecution and hurt and degradation today, you are living in the physical. You're not allowing the spiritual to come and guide you. Because see, there is no hurt, there is no pain, there is no anything bad in the spiritual. Now yes, there's warfare, spiritual warfare, that goes on because we are in this body. Once we are all delivered from the body, once we are joined with the Lord, then all of those others that are causing the spiritual warfare will be cast into the lake of fire. He is calling to us in this passage, just as He was calling to Israel in the old days. See, God's desire for Israel was to take a people and show, so that that people could show other people what it was like to love the living God. His idea for Israel was, you come and worship me, I will be your king. Now the book of Judges makes it pretty plain. Everyone lived, there was no king in that day. Everyone lived as they saw fit. But see, God wanted Israel to be His people, and He says, I will be your king. I will lead you. You follow me. We can show the rest of the world what it is to follow a great and mighty God, and they will come to me, and they will give me glory, and they will give me praise. That was God's whole plan. And unfortunately, Israel, time and time and time again, turned from God. And they said, we don't want any of that. We want to do what we want to do. We want our own material possessions. We want to do like the rest of the world is doing. And in fact, as we go through the Old Testament, we will see that the Jews turn and they say, we want a king like all the other nations. We don't want God as our king. We want a king like all the other nations. And we are so guilty of that today. And why are we guilty of that today? Why is America guilty of that today? Because Christians choose to sit on the pew instead of speaking up for a great and mighty powerful God. Now, I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about glorifying God because we love Him. Because we walk in the heavenly realms, we're not concerned with what goes on in the physical. Are you about to lose a car? Who cares? You're going to have to move out of that house you got? What does it matter? If we will live according to God and we follow Him, He might lead us out of that two-story house into a cabin. He's going to take care of our needs. He says He would. He made promises to us that He will. He says, He said, I clothe the birds with feathers. He said, look at, I feed them. They don't toil. They don't spin. I take care of them. How much more will I love you? He has given you the promise that you do not have to be concerned. Do you have an illness? You don't have to be concerned. God has given you the promise that He will take care of those needs. He is our security. Our security does not reside in the government. It does not reside in the banks. It does not reside in where we live. It does not reside in how much food we have in the pantry. It resides in Jesus Christ, who is our judge. And ironically, we won't have to be judged because we've accepted Him. We won't have to be judged as to whether or not we're going to be able to spend eternity with Him. Unlike the book of Judges, where those who followed were destroyed. Those who didn't follow, rather, were destroyed. Number two, we are victorious in Christ. Every single thing we have in this life, we are overcomers. We are victorious in Christ. No matter what you are facing, you are victorious in Christ. Is someone coming against you? You are victorious in Christ. Are you having to go through some kind of medical procedure that you are afraid of? You are victorious in Christ. You're looking at your bank account saying, I don't know if I can make it this month. You are victorious in Christ. God is taking care of us through Christ Jesus our Lord. Does He say He will give us Rolls Royces, three-story mansions, and a big bank account? No, He does not. He tells us that He will take care of us in our needs, in every single thing that we need, if we will trust Him. If we will trust Him. It's the only stipulation. Because if we don't trust Him, He allows us to go our way. Just exactly like Israel, He allows them to go their way until they come crawling back. Okay, God, I've messed up again. Have you ever noticed that we have to let it get so bad before we crawl back to God? We don't turn to Him directly. right away. We wait till the crisis happens. And then we say, okay, God, I've tried it my way. Now let's try yours. But we are victorious in Christ. We have the victory. Evil's already been judged. God has made a promise to us that we will enter into His salvation. And in fact, that we are in His salvation. He has also made a promise to us that evil will not reside for eternity. It has already been judged. Because of the victory in Jesus Christ, we understand that God is in control. Every single aspect of our life, God is in control. Most of us have heard, many of us have heard of a Sharia law, something that Islam is trying to bring to this land. And in fact, for some unknown reason, this land has become enamored with at least the media. Now, the common people, doesn't seem to be affecting them, but the media are enamored with Islam. Mainly because I believe that we are in such a politically correct society, afraid to say what is right and what is wrong, that this has crept in, and now it's not creeping any longer. It's moving in like a bulldozer. It's just coming in. Because I hate the word politically correct. It's just a lie. That's all it is. It's a lie. But yet, our government and many of our officials has been sucked in. Our media. You know those Hollywood actors that so many kids aspire to be like? Parents, begin to watch that. When your kid starts looking up to a Hollywood actor, maybe a sports figure, anything of the sort, begin to watch that. Warn them. That is, I believe, becoming the epitome of evil. As they are following these who are saying, well, look, we just all have to get along. It doesn't matter who you love. It doesn't matter who you worship. There's many roads to the top of the mountain. It doesn't matter. But it does matter. Sharia law is something that we must be open our eyes. And understand that our laws of this land were made and based on biblical principles. And in fact, the reason that we have such a problem with Sharia law, it is so foreign to us, is because most of the world, their laws are based on biblical principles, on the Ten Commandments. You don't have to travel much of the world to find out most of Europe, America, Canada, even a lot of the Africas, much of the world, follows the law that you see based on the Ten Commandments. And Sharia law is so foreign to us because of the degradation of women, because of how it treats individuals. And we see these things and it becomes foreign to us. And it's time that we begin to make sure that we stand for Christ. It is time that we make our voice known that we stand for Christ. I'm not talking about running out there picking up a sign that says God hates fags. Don't ever do that. That's not what God's about. God hates the people in the military because it breaks my heart that this one stupid church that is being led by Satan and they get taken to court because they're standing there saying, God, this is a holding signs. This is a judgment on our military because of the homosexuals or whatever. God hates no one. God doesn't. I don't care how bad you think you are this morning. I don't care if you had an adulterous relationship last night. God doesn't hate you. God doesn't hate you in your addictions. God doesn't hate you in the problems that you incur. God doesn't hate you because you're living together out of wedlock. He doesn't hate you what it is that you have done. He doesn't hate you if you're a drunkard. He doesn't hate you if you're into pornography. He loves you. Now, He doesn't want you to stay in those things because they sever the relationship with God. Because you can't have that close, intimate relationship with God if you are going to be in those things. sins. But he doesn't hate you. He doesn't hate Islam. Or he doesn't hate the Muslims, I should say. I believe he hates Islam. Because Islam is another foreign religion that worships an idol. And God says that he hates idols and idol worship. But he doesn't hate the Muslims. Because he doesn't hate people. He created us. And in fact, he says it is not his will that any should perish, but that all should have eternal salvation in Jesus Christ. Because we are victorious in Christ. We stand in victory. 1 Peter 2, 9, 1 through 12 says, but you... I want you to make sure you understand that. Everybody look right here. When you're reading this word, and it says, but you, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is exactly talking to you. He's not talking to anyone else. Peter is talking to you in the Word of God, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. We belong to God through Jesus Christ. We are our own nation, a holy nation. In Christ Jesus, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of the darkness into His wonderful light. He has called you to step into the light and to worship Him and glorify Him for all eternity. He's called you out to worship Him. Once you were not a people. Once we were just people. Some of you might even remember that a few weeks ago, a few months ago. I was not a chosen people then. I was just like the rest of the world, just walking around. But once you weren't a chosen people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Sinful desires which lead to sinful relationships. You understand? He said sinful desires because that leads to sinful relationships. As a man thinks, so he goes, so he does. You begin to dwell on those things and eventually you will commit that sin. Live such good lives among the pagans. He's talking about America, by the way. Among the pagans. If you don't believe he's talking about America, watch a little TV. Don't watch a lot of it. Maybe watch Oprah for 5 minutes. Watch a few other things. Watch the news. He's talking about America. The pagans. Our president says we are no longer a Christian nation. Perhaps he is just calling it like he sees it. Perhaps he's, even though it makes me boil, perhaps he's calling it like he sees it. We are a nation of people who want to worship anything to get it our way. We need to change our name to Burger King. We want it our way. Live such good lives among the pagans, though they accuse you of doing wrong, because we know that happens, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us. You see what's going on in this passage? You see what's going on in these passages? Do you see what's going on in the book of Judges? You see, God is speaking to us in heavenly realms. You see that you may glorify God on the day when? On today? He wants us to glorify God today, but we are actually going to be, as the world looks at us, as the pagan world stands in front of Jesus Christ, who says He will judge all, both good and bad, at the Bema seat of Christ, at the judgment seat of Christ, some call it, that as we stand there, we will glorify God because they will see that Jesus Christ is Lord, and they will see that we stand for something. Friday was the World Day of Prayer. It was a day to lift up the world to God and to pray for those who did not know Jesus Christ. It wasn't a time to fix everything, because God says that it's not going to be fixed. It's eventually going to get worse and worse and worse until God comes back. It's His plan. That is what He has done. That is His plan. It was a time to ask Him to lift up this world and that they might find Jesus Christ. It was a time that we might call out on God for all peoples of the world. That those who are seeking Jesus Christ might come to Him. That maybe those who are not even seeking, maybe that we might, He might be made known to them. See, Jesus is the righteous judge. The judges in the book of Judges were unrighteous men. They were men just like us, and they make mistakes. They were men just like us who try to do things their own way. Gideon, even though he was heralded by many, he's heralded as a great warrior. I read him a little different by when I'm reading the Word. I don't see him so much as a great warrior. I see him more as someone who's looking for an excuse to get out. He kept going to God, going to God. He trusted more in man than he did in God. God told him by the angel of the Lord that you are going to win the battle. But Gideon still chose to try tests and tests and tests. God told Gideon to go down by the enemy's camp and listen to what they're saying. That's what gave him the strength to even do the battle, is that he finally heard the men at the camp, that they were afraid of the Israelites, when all he had to do was to trust in God. That's all he had to do. But yet he chose to continue to trust in what he saw. Don't trust in what you see. Don't trust in what you think you know. Trust in what God has told us is the truth. Trust in Jesus Christ, who is the righteous judge, who will judge everyone according to what they have done, whether good or bad. And those of us who have accepted Him as Lord and Savior, He will say, "Come, enter, thou good and faithful servant, into the riches that I have prepared for you." And to those on His left hand, He will say, "Go into the lake of fire." Jesus is the righteous judge. No matter how good it looks like things are, they are only righteous through Jesus. Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we come to You. We offer our praise to You. Thank You, Lord, for Your love. Thank You for dying on the cross that we might have eternal salvation. I pray, Father, You will make us the kind of Christians that You would have us to be. I pray that You will help us to glorify You in all that we do. I pray as we go out into this world that they will see Jesus in us. I pray You will help us to refrain from joining in with the dirty jokes or with the time around the cooler or with the friends that are gathered around, that we might choose to abstain and give You the glory. I pray You will help us to grow more and more in Your spiritual realms. Teach us what You would have us to know, Lord. Fill us this day with Your Holy Spirit. I thank You for all of this congregation, Lord. I thank You for each one that is here today. I thank You for the visitors who have come. I thank You for those who have been here for years. I pray that You will teach us what You would have us to know. What is the gift that You want to give to us that we might be able to do Your work? Equip us, Lord, is what we ask. Thank You for sending those who have come that we might have more workers, because the harvest is ripe. And we give You the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining with this study. If you would like more information about my ministry, please feel free to go to my website, HisGospelPower.org. God bless you in your faithfulness to Jesus. Until next time, I pray you receive His gospel power today.
Be washed away. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Just come and praise His holy name. He's calling you. He's calling you. Jesus Christ is calling. Touched your